coming up on Thunder Pop.
Hello, everyone in Thunder Pop land. This is going to be our 98th episode of our podcast. It's going to be a special edition. It is from our live simulcast that happened on May 4th day. May the 4th be with you. I'll be joined by a handful of people for this special event, and we decided to turn this into a podcast episode. And ladies and gentlemen, join us in the Thunder Pop Dome is the one and only Darth Jazz. Or would there be a more appropriate nicknaming for this this mashup?
Girth Vader.
I love it. I love it. S and D, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Girth Vader. AKA, oh, there it's got the two. It's got the two pieces. He's unveiled himself. He's come to back to the light side of the force, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Jazz won, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, Kat?
And Jazz, I had been on Facebook just before we started. He visited
Precision camera and stuff.
Yeah, we were briefly, I mentioned, talked about some of the events, and I started to talk about that. But we have a camera store in Austin. It's called Precision Camera. And they, one of the biggest camera stores, I know at least in Texas, it's the biggest camera store in the state, easily. So they have a really great setup there. And here, I'll move over so you can get a little bit more on our...
Awesome.
This is Facebook. So let me show you...
What's up, Facebook?
Facebook, YouTube.
YouTube!
And Instagram.
Insta.
So we're on an iPhone 10 Instagram.
Okay, you follow me at Jazz1. You follow me at DJ Jazz1. And you follow me at Jazzy Wonder.
Probably perfect. That's smart. Just specifically hit your targets with the right information.
Exactly.
It's very important. Yeah, so we're up high there with Facebook looking down upon us.
What's up, Facebook?
And then Instagram straight ahead, and then down low, YouTube. Down below. So yeah, we're Precision Cameras, this huge camera store in Austin, and they were doing a special Star Wars event, and they started yesterday.
Oh yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, and it went on into today, and they had where you could take pictures with the Star Wars, some Star Wars characters.
Yeah, they had like what was it troopers on Endor?
Oh, the the indoor troopers.
Speeder troopers.
They were the speeder troopers?
Yeah, there was like one of those, stormtrooper. And yeah, it was fun.
That's cool. Yeah, the pictures look really great. So if you're in Austin till they close, I guess around 6 or 7 p.m. Central, you could pop in and get your photos taken with your favorites, some favorite characters.
Oh yeah,
at Precision Camera. And I know about some other goings-ons in the city to work.
Oh, there we go.
A little bit more in our favor. Okay.
I see your Facebook.
Yeah. Now we got some little bit more coverage there. It's kind of just looking down on us there. It's trippy. So this is an experiment. We've never done anything like this before. Simulcast.
We live in the future.
We're totally living in the future. And then we're also recording audio for content for the podcast.
Hot damn.
So this will be a podcast episode also once it gets all cut together for our podcast audience. Because there's a podcast audience that probably never even gets on social media.
Exactly.
That just listens to podcasts. I know people like that. That they're the podcast people, but they're not the Facebook and Instagram people.
Man, I remember going to a panel during South by one time, and it's like, man, you got to reach people where they're at. You know,
yeah.
Like, you may be more Facebook or Insta, but no, there's some people who just do Twitter. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, you got to find them where they're at, you know, even if it's not your preferred social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole audience just for Twitter alone. A couple other things that were happening. They were going to have tonight at Pinballs. There's a Star Wars video game competition going on.
Oh, shit.
Just over here. Like a real, like, serious Star Wars gamers competition that people can go and participate in or view. Just go and hang out and watch. And then Alamo Drafthouse and the Highball are doing stuff all day.
Yeah, I know there's a lightsaber vigil for Peter Mayhew.
I was wondering.
At the Republic Square Park. here in Austin about, what, 6:30? And I think they're showing Return of the Jedi at about 8, like when it gets dark.
Nice.
Like, I remember when we lost Carrie, you know, it's like went down to the Alamo Draft House. Mm-hmm. Man, I think it just happened within the afternoon, and you go down there. And, man, that had to be, like, at least 500 people down there with, like, lightsabers.
Wow. You know?
It's like, yeah, I'm a lifelong Star Wars nerd, but just living in a city where something like that just comes together just, like, out of nowhere, mm-hmm. you know, that was a beautiful thing. And, you know, going into this recently, like, losing Peter Mayhew, was it yesterday, day before, you know? I mean, he was a mass character, and I think it's awesome that they're, you know, planning on doing this, you know, again for Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought about that because I remember they had done it for Carrie Fisher, and I'd wondered if they were would they be, because it just so happens being that Star Wars Day, just a few days separated from his passing.
Oh yeah.
I was like, well, what do you do? Do you do something in addition to that? Do you do something for Peter Mayhew today as well?
Oh yeah.
And we are. I've got my I chose my Chewbacca shirt for today of the Star Wars t-shirts I could have worn. This is the one I selected. And then we have the Chewbacca mask back here for Peter Mayhew.
Oh, man, pour some blue milk out for Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, and there it is. So now, Peter Mayhew, as far as I know, his last appearance in a Star Wars film where he had significant camera time was in Force Awakens.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the shots where he wasn't like up and walking because of, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, he was sharing the duties with the new
Jonas. I don't speak the Swedish.
Yeah, he's a former Swedish basketball player turned Chewbacca.
Exactly. Yeah. But I tell you, no, it's like he is still doing Peter Mayhew's Chewbacca.
Yeah. No, he has come in and just stepped right. And Peter Mayhew's worked with him. So Peter Mayhew's continued to work with him even as he's been less and less himself in the fur.
Yeah.
He's been consulting.
No, it's like I hate it like when we lose people because obviously we lost them, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like the stories that surface after people pass.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm a huge Prince fan and just seeing videos and music and after shows pop up, mm-hmm. and when we lost Carrie Fisher, you know, it was just like, man, all the stories about her, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, man, it just I keep hearing these stories about Peter Mayhew, and it's like, man, I wish our paths would have crossed at some time.
Yeah, he was. Now this is something that was interesting that we had mentioned on the podcast at some point that he was living in the Dallas area for the last several years. He had not started off as a Dallas resident, but had been in Dallas. Wait a minute, I just dialed up Facebook because I wanted to make sure in case we were getting messaged by anybody that's trying to get a hold of us for coming on. And well, wait a minute, what is this? We're on live on Facebook. What the heck is going on? Facebook's getting kind of like that bird's eye cam, like we're. Yeah. The most broadcast friendly version is probably what's going to YouTube. Now, I'm going to break this down for you. We have a pretty good engaged audience on Instagram.
What's up, Insta?
Yeah, Insta's been really blowing up a little bit. But it's been there, and we have some loyal people that dial up anytime we're doing something. They're involved.
Thank you.
YouTube, I just almost barely just started. You know,
YouTube, you can do better.
They can do better. Facebook, they know about us, but they don't really.
What's up, Zuck?
But yeah, but they're not really joining us until after it's done, and then after it's like finished, the live's finished.
Yeah,
some people will find it later.
Does Twitter do this?
You know, I've know that at least on Twitter. And look, you look straight ahead too. You can see us on Facebook on the TV monitor there too. That's what it looks like. It's totally like a. We're about to go do the new money. We're the new Monday Night Football team here. Well, Jazz. What did you think about that play?
Unless we're talking about the play.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to be here for Monday Night Football. And, you know, if we're here, that means you don't have to listen to Jason Witten call a football game this year.
Oh.
Something for the football fans there. Hey, and I'm a Cowboys fan, but that was hard to listen to.
Yeah, I do concur.
Yeah. But, hey, what that provided was him coming back as a player for another year.
Oh, yeah.
So, because that was a good out. He was like, yeah, I'm not quitting. I'm just going back to play football.
Oh, Sean Payton was laughing at the Cowboys the other day. Like, people thinking y'all going to get my coach.
I've heard about this, but...
He says he got Florida Lee's tattooed on him. Keep y'all hand off my coach.
It looks like on Facebook, they get like a little bit of a delay for what we're doing. You see how we're barely...
Oh, I thought we just ripped the space-time continuum.
Whoa! You got some Avengers in-game stuff happening.
Exactly.
There.
But we're like only like 5 seconds in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So we're... Okay, so we have some other live streamers that they're supposed to be joining us. I know Johnny for sure. Paul.
Johnny, where you at?
Johnny Lightfoot, Paul Nye. I left a sign on the door, but I want to make sure in case they get there and the door's locked, it gets locked for some reason, they know that they can knock on the door. Knock on door if need be. Okay, back at you, people. So where were we? Oh, things that are going on in Austin. We talked about pinballs, precision camera. If you're local in Austin, and I got something for people out of Austin that might be in the LA area that I know is really cool in the LA area for people wanting to celebrate Star Wars Day in LA. But there's also the Alamo Draft House and the Highball, which are doing stuff all day. And then you mentioned the vigil for Peter Mayhew, which they are going to do.
Yeah, it's the Rolling Road Show from Alamo Draft House.
That's going to put that together.
Yeah, they're showing the Return of the Jedi, like in the park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great, great. So, of all this stuff, is there anything you're gonna partake in to continue your Star Wars Day festivities?
Oh man, I went and did Comic Book Day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like. Being a big dude, I have to ride that fine line, you know, like I watch comic book movies, don't normally read the comic books, but yeah. I snuck some today. Don't tell nobody, none of y'all tell nobody. You know, it's like I go see Star Wars on the first day, I'm not dressing as a character. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm looking at maybe hitting the vigil, you know, unless I can find parking within like a mile, you know.
That would be kind of that, yeah. Because they're not speeder bike rental, which would be when they get that. For that's what I'm coming.
They have speeder scooters.
They do. You get on a bird scooter and scoot on down there. Center switch. Now I meant to get talk about Nigel. Nigel had asked me,
"What's up, Nigel?"
He says, "I need Sabrina Carpenter." Now, Nigel, Sabrina Carpenter, I've seen these photos, these memes or pictures you've put together. Is she's an actress or a singer? Do you know who the Sabrina Carpenter is?
It sounds familiar, but I just can't.
I'm gonna Google
put
it.
A face with a name.
But Nigel, I know is absolutely. If I'm wrong on this, Nigel, please correct me. But I know Nigel is absolutely in love with Sabrina Carpenter. Am I speaking out of place? Let me know. But I know he's got it for Sabrina Carpenter. I'm gonna look up who this is because I'm a little bit out of the loop. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know she's a big deal. I should know who Sabrina Carpenter is. She's an actress. And she's in movies and television. She's also an American singer-songwriter. She has a recurring role as the young version of Chloe Goodwin in the Goodwin Games, and she starred as Maya Hart in the Disney Channel serial. Oh, I know who this is, because she was on Girl Meets World, which is a sequel series to Boy Meets World.
Oh yeah,
from the '90s.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I totally know who she is. I just didn't know who that was. And she's also been in some other. She's had some albums, but anyway, for Nigel, he said he has to get to California specifically. He gives me a thumbs up. Specifically, no, give Google a thumbs up. I just Googled that. I didn't like somehow poof, just sort of just came up with that on my own. But she's in California, and Nigel told me he needs help getting to California. He's got to get to California to get to Sabrina Carpenter. Can you help him on that?
Let's start a GoFundMe.
Start a GoFundMe. Nigel, if you're out of school, you could offer sign up for like a volunteer group. I'm giving him some advice. Sign up for like some kind of volunteer group that would pay your expenses to go live in California and do volunteer work for them, and then you would not only impress Sabrina Carpenter by being a humanitarian.
Oh yeah.
But then you would get yourself placed in the same state as her. And I don't, by the way, I do not encourage or endorse stalking. So I'm not doing that by no stretch of the imagination. But if you try to get to the same state as her, where there's a will, there's a way, and if it's meant to be, you know, it's just like Thanos said, I am inevitable. I am inevitable.
I am Iron Man.
And yeah, that's what happened. So you could show up at, this is a hypothetically, you could show up at Sabrina Carpenter's doorsteps and you could quote that line as she answered the door. She said, "Who the hell are you?" And you could say, "I am inevitable." And then she could say, "I am on the phone with the police." No. I'm just having some fun with you. I love you, Nigel. I love you. Now in game, and yeah, absolutely, she's very talented, and I could see why you would be in like for Sabrina Carpenter, and go to California and maybe you could go also and go out there and get into the biz and start working in the industry, and maybe somehow you could get your foot in the door and work on something that she's working on, but who knows. Anyway, yeah, absolutely. Where there's a will, there's a way. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And you and Sabrina Carpenter maybe could be.
Go you.
Go you. Yeah, you do you. But here's the thing. I think we have someone else joining us.
Hey!
Johnny Lightfoot. Also bringing his gear into the Thunder Pop Dome. Johnny Lightfoot joining us, also bringing his gear, because we had Jazz join us with his Darth Vader helmet, new Darth Vader helmet that he brought, he bought, and then I'm doing the Chewbacca mask for today in remembrance of Peter Mayhew, and then we've got Kylo Ren, also as Jazz calls him, Kylo Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now I remember, man, my last girl I dated, seriously, she was all in her like Renaissance fair, and I was gonna, if we stayed together, like next time the Ren fair came, I was gonna be like Kylo Ren fair. I was gonna like just paint a sword like red, get the mask and cloak, and that'd be like so easy to do.
I love it. And this is all new. This is what's fun. This live streaming thing is so scary because it's so new for us doing, especially in a simulcast form. But this is such a good, I mean, because there's going to be things that are going to go right, and there's going to be things that are going to go wrong trying to do this for the first time.
Right.
So far, so good.
But we're going to get better at it. It's just like podcasting. I mean, oh, God, our first 5 to 20 episodes.
Bro, I remember being on episode 2 and 3, and I told you when you began, like, man, you know, what you do at the first episode is going to be a lot different than what you do at number 50.
Yeah,
we're coming up on 100, bruh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's I'm attempting to share our Facebook Live this has been successfully, so our group, our Thunderpop group, can find this this Facebook. So just to get you updated here, we might give you a little, I'll move this, because you're with us on YouTube, Johnny. Oh. your ear is with us on Instagram. Now you're with us on Instagram.
There we go. Like, squeeze in, bro.
Yeah. And then I can scoot this a little bit and get you on Facebook too.
There we go.
Now we're the new Monday night. We're the new Monday night football team for 2019-20. No Jason Witten this year, people.
No.
Thankfully, he's on the football field though.
Yeah, if only we had a Tony Romo to tell us everything that's going to happen. Oh, it in makes episode 9. Wait, yeah.
Well, you know that actually, you know, you are the Tony Romo of the podcasting world, I think, of the Star Wars superhero genre, sci-fi genre podcast world.
I mean, I try. I mean, I listen to everything and then just try to basically look at everything that's happening and try to just piece it together based on not just the news stories, but the little things.
Yeah. No, it's and we throw a lot of things up in the air. Sometimes we do have some things that don't stick. I mean, we like to have fun sometimes and just throw 10 different ideas up in the air. When it comes to Star Wars or other, you know, the Avengers or whatever we're doing a show on. And we've got, I mean, Johnny came on and you had been the first on our show that said, you know, before Force Awakens came out, months ahead of Force Awakens, you said Han Solo would die. Yeah.
And it was all because he looked too happy.
Yeah, in interviews and in press leading up to the movie's release, The Force Awakens, we had that ended up happening. And then also, I think you got the Luke Skywalker too, didn't you? Were you the one?
Well, I said it was going to be Han, then Luke, then Leia.
Yeah.
So there's no way I can be right about 9.
Yeah. That's going to be, well, that's the thing. It's like, what? Because Leia, Princess Leia, General Leia, probably does die in episode 9, right?
I mean, I think so. I mean, they're using old footage from 7, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And we've seen just a little bit of a glimpse of that in the trailer, which I'm going to play the trailer for us to look at. And we're going to do that as our reviewing the trailer segment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen the trailer now. I don't know how many hundreds of times.
Yeah, it's like, man, we've all seen it. But, man, when I went to go see Avengers and they showed it like in the theater.
Oh, isn't that the best when you can finally see it on the big screen?
Oh, like it was like a whole different dimension.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like seeing it again because you got to see it on the big screen.
That's what kind of gets me to think that we were spoiled. Because when we got episode 1, the only way you could see that trailer was in the theater.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That was me.
I don't even remember what movie it was where it debuted, but it was like people were buying the tickets just to go watch the Phantom Menace trailer.
I heard it come up on it. I can't remember the movie, but I heard somebody talk about it like yesterday. Like it was on a podcast. They said they paid a ticket to go to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then just walked out after the trailer.
Changing my mind.
What was the first? Do we remember? Because I remember it being a specific movie for like Phantom Menace when Phantom Menace came out. Because again, this was before the YouTube when you could just wait, sit by the computer during Star Wars weekend and they would play it for you and you'd see it as it's being premiered at Star Wars weekend. So you actually would have to go see it at the theater, like you said. What was the movie that people were going to see the first trailers of?
See, and I want to say it was not any kind of action movie.
It wasn't
anything
that you would think, right?
No.
So it really was a movie that maybe people might go, like a rom-com or something.
It was something like that because it got a big boost of ticket sales just for people going to watch the trailer.
Yeah. Do you think it was studio connected with
20th
Century?
Had to have been.
Yeah. So they had an ulterior motive of attaching the trailer to that film. You know, that was done in music. And the artist himself was, I think, the first one to do this idea of selling tickets to their concert and attaching their new record as a part of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he got like the biggest selling album from that year. I think it was 2000. I don't know.
Was that the Musicology?
Yeah, I think it might have been Musicology. Yeah. Prince did this. It was probably around 07, maybe 08, somewhere in there when he was. And it was around the time he did a redo of the Purple Rain tour where he redid everything exactly like the tour of Purple Rain originally was as far as stage set and costumes and whatnot. But that year, within that two-year period when that came out, he attached it to ticket sales to the concert. And so it was counted as volumes. So it went through. So other artists copied that idea, and then at some point I think they were going to outlaw it to keep artists from being able to do that, so they wouldn't be able to count those sales.
Oh, damn.
In their volumes. And I don't know if that ever happened, but I know a lot of people copied that idea, and that's kind of the bundling of things,
yeah,
like that.
I mean, last summer or spring, I went and saw Jack White, mm-hmm. and he did that.
He did this,
and I didn't realize it at the time. My buddy who got our mm-hmm. tickets, he was just like, "Hey, do you want the vinyl or the CD?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, it was part of our ticket purchase."
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Wow. So you get this.
It was we had to pay an extra $10 if we wanted the vinyl.
So you had an option.
Yeah.
They gave you an option on there. Yeah. So and so just to get you up to speed, Johnny, this is Instagram on the phone. YouTube here, and our YouTube is almost non-existent. We don't have an audience on YouTube yet, which is fine. We know you're eventually gonna come to the Thunderpop side of the force. And then Facebook, we have a lot of people that end up joining us like after it's saved,
right,
posted. And then Instagram is a pretty engaged audience. There's some people on there that actually join us for our live things, and then there's people that do catch it within the 24 hours before it goes. Thanos snaps his fingers and
right.
makes the Instagram live go poof. But and Nigel told us, and we've been having this conversation with Nigel, who's obsessed with the actress Sabrina Carpenter, and he wanted us to help him try to figure out a way to get to California to meet her. But he says he already met her. So you did meet her already. Because you do have a picture of her with you. Did you go to a convention to meet her, Nigel? If you're still with us. And then also, you probably answered my question of what state you live in, but I didn't catch it. So if you could reset that and let me know what state you're in. Because if you're in Nevada, then I would just tell you to get a rental car and drive to California. But again, I don't endorse stalking of celebrities.
Yeah, I think I remember a story you told me about a guy who was stalking Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, like, well, that
in the airport.
That was a real thing. It was the autographer people that hunt celebrities for autographs. And this guy.
Damn.
So this is a story we told on the podcast. But since we're on Star Wars Day, I'll talk about it because it's Star Wars centric. But these guys would actually buy plane tickets for flights they weren't even going to sometimes take, so they could be there at the terminals for when these celebrities they knew were going to be traveling that day, and they would do their own research to figure out what airlines they fly, or they would figure out what typically most celebrities would be flying on. And so they would also know their routes because of where they were going, if they were going someplace for press or festivals or whatever. So the autographers are pros. They know how to track down. The media can do that too, you know, especially like the TMZ people can figure out where to find people. But this guy was one of those people that would like wait for celebrities at terminals, and he figured out where Daisy Ridley was going to be. But he even went to the extreme of like getting his seats near her on the plane and flying with her so he could get that autograph from her.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And she wasn't happy. I mean, she was scolding him and saying, "You just need to go. You need to like give us some space." And you know, how dare you do this? And it's a little extreme.
Damn.
It's extreme. That the whole autograph scene is really extreme.
Yeah, like I never do autographs.
I'm not big on them either. When I was a kid, I was into it. But as an adult, I'm like you. I like the picture, and I like the meet and greet with the people that I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for me, it's like, if I have a story with them, I'll do a photo. You know, it's like, as an artist myself. Mm-hmm. And we all draw from the same pool.
Yeah.
You know, like you may be monetizing on your art a little more than I am, but your art's no truer than mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like autographs put me here and them up here. And I used to like never do autographs, anybody or pictures. And then met Erykah Badu at a VIP area of the Fader Fort. And we started talking, realized we ran in the same circles in college. Didn't know each other, but like, oh, you know so-and-so? Oh God, you know. Took a pic then, and then remember I was at one party, and the guitar player from The Roots asked if he'd get a picture with me. And I was like, okay.
Nice.
Now it's just kind of playing the game, you know.
Yeah, that to me, you know, has a, you know, our Mark Hamill meeting at the South by Southwest of not this year, but last year.
Yeah.
That had some story. That was stories attached to that experience.
Yeah, man. That one was truly the story of it happening, mm-hmm. was the story.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just literally called that into existence. I'm fairly sure I used the Force to make that happen.
You used the Force to meet Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Bring him into existence. Yeah. And of course, I'll always have the story, and I'll have the photo to prove that I was ghosted by Luke Skywalker. Yeah. Because what happens is, Jazz is a master of like getting himself in position for the photo op, and you figured out a route to where to.
Well, no, going back, it was like, I remember I was hearing that he was going to be in town for the documentary that was connected to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I think the director and the Jedi. And I think the day previous, he was at the convention center, and I spoke to like maybe 1,000 people. But a week before, I was like, I just went to Twitter just to put in the universe. I was like, hey, universe, make our paths cross. And like 10 seconds later, I get a DM from someone I knew like 15 years ago. He's like, RSVP with this person at Twitter. And I do that. And the only other person I gave was this, the connect was this guy right here. Mm-hmm. And I figure, you know, if he gets in, we got content, you know.
Yeah.
And on the RSVP, man, he gets a response and I don't. So I don't normally push twice on anything, right? So I email him back. I'm like, hey, I'm Jazz One. I shoot for Nardwar. I'm part of Evil Flying Chickens. I'm Jazz One, you know, DJ Jazz One. And I get an email back. It's like, we know who you are. We just didn't recognize your email address. I'm like, oh, shit. So we show up in line, my homegirl, Donna Jean. I don't know if we had a plus one or not, but we congregate in the line. I think there was like, I'm not sure if I had plus one, but when they were checking, I'm like, she's my plus one. Like, I Jedi mind tricked my friend in. So we get in there, and I swear there was like 35 people in the audience. It was Rand Bergman, the producer of The Last Jedi, Ryan Johnson.
Very, very nice guy.
And Mark Hamill. Mm-hmm. And it was just like an intimate, you know, talk. You know, I was just like, this is amazing. But after it was over, like, Mark Hamill had this dude look like Secret Service and with him and stuff. And everybody's crowding around him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing anything. So here comes Rand Bergman. Introduced myself. I was going to hit him up because one of my new crazy goals is being in a Star Wars. I don't care if it's a movie or a TV show.
TV show. Animation.
You know, make me a chubby stormtrooper, space DJ. I don't care. Like, I'm going to manifest that. But so here comes Mark. I'm like, hey, Mark, shake his hand. I'm like, can I get a snap? Can I get a pic? And he's like, yeah. So nobody else is getting this. So I like get one of me and him. Homegirl Donna Jean jumps in. I think the third photo... You get like half, he's in there, Mark's turned.
Yeah.
And man, after it was over, you know, it's like, man, I shoot interviews for Nardwar. I've gigged, you know, with everybody you can name. And man, I never get starstruck. Worked in TV news, I worked in sports. I don't get like, I don't fanboy out over like anybody. Man, after it was all over, you know, I'm like, that happened. Like, I just called this into existence. This happened. Mm-hmm. And Donna Jean and Presley, you like, show us a picture. I'm like, I can't shake. Like, I'm shaky. Like, I've never in my adult life fanboyed out for like that moment. I'm like, holy shit. But yeah, I get, get the like 8x10, like, I don't ever get them stuff printed out. Got that printed, but I couldn't find out, like, a friend of mine who manages the Staples. Man, next day, he gives me, like, a poster-sized version of this.
Oh, wow.
That's cool, isn't it? Is this the one where I'm getting, this is the before I get
but
ghosted.
Before that, but it's funny, that year, we shot DMC from Run DMC for Nardwar.
Same year, yeah.
And Nardwar's, like, telling DMC, you know, Run DMC, like, about my Mark Hamill experience. You know, DMC is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I think he was almost as geeked as I was. He was like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's Luke freaking Skywalker, man.
Yeah, Luke freaking Skywalker. Like, this South by came up. I'm like, why can top this? Man, the only thing I could think of is maybe playing catch with Drew Brees. maybe a TED Talk.
Yeah, it's just like, where do you go after that?
Well, smoking out with Snoop Dogg.
Even Jimmy Fallon got by Mark Hamill once on his own show. Hamill came out and Jimmy Fallon got all starstruck.
Yeah,
it's amazing. What was it? Blossom, the chick on Big Bang. When he did an appearance on there, I saw a video of her just like totally fangirling out.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, I don't, like later I felt like kind of silly because I never fanboy out. But, you know, then seeing somebody, you know, huge name, like, fanning out, I'm like, okay, you know, this is, you know, it's just a different thing, man.
There's just the small, and you know, the big ones, like the really big ones, like the iconic ones. I mean, how many of those really are there? And Mark Hamill, he's iconic for playing that one character, Luke Skywalker, but it's a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a Superman and Lone Ranger, Luke Skywalker. There's Superman.
Well, it's like Christopher Reeve never became like a global superstar, but everybody knew him as Superman.
And he was Superman. He really, like, yeah.
Getting a new Star Wars movie is like getting another book of the Bible.
Added on, yeah, all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, there's one more.
Revelations of the Skywalker.
Okay, so here's Nigel, who's been continuing on with communicate with us on Instagram. He tells us that he's never seen the original Star Wars.
Bruh. Whoa. Fix that.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Now, Nigel, I'm assuming you mean the original trilogy. Have you seen the prequels? Are you just on Force Awakens and Last Jedi? Whereabouts are you in the whole thing? Have you seen anything? I know you're a huge Avengers fan because I know you've been posting quite a bit about Endgame, and you posted on quite a bit on Infinity War. So I want to curious where you're at, but I might not be able to get you to California, and I don't have the clout to get you a meeting with Sabrina Carpenter. But what I can do is I can tell you how to find Star Wars and get that going tonight, especially on Star Wars Day.
Yo, when can we start talking about Avengers, like, spoilerish, like, deepish?
Oh, we're already there, and the audience understands because we've already done our one episode. We're spoilery in our – it was very spoilery. So if you're watching and if you haven't seen Endgame, I just want to warn you that this is a spoiler-filled stream. So I don't want to spoil it for you. So if you want to jump off, I think that a lot of people have seen it already.
See, like, I'm a Star Wars guy, but Avengers and stuff, it's like the side chick. Just like I'm a I'm a LSU guy, but like UT is like the side team, right?
Yeah.
And man, I saw Endgame the other day and just thoroughly entertained. Amazingly how they wrapped everything up. I thought it was amazing. Then I'm like, man, I have a feeling that, you know, Rise of Skywalker is going to up that game exponentially.
Yeah, you know, I could see there being some parallels between Endgame and the Rise of Skywalker. I mean, because there you're doing some J.J. Abrams has promised with Rise of Skywalker quite a bit of what happened in Endgame in terms of like but with Star Wars.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's they're trying to tie up the trilogy, or not the trilogy, the saga.
The
as
saga,
a whole,
essentially.
Yeah. Three.
The Nino-ology?
Yeah. It's like, you kind of see them sitting back, and it's like Avengers, the culmination of 11 years, and you're like, oh, look at Star Wars, that's cute, you know?
Not as many films, but, man, way more years.
You know, it's funny, if you think about it, if Star Wars had began in the era of Avengers and saga building, where they start to build the saga from the get go, that was planned out. You know, that was a 10 years planned out from the beginning. If you think about how Star Wars was done, where it was just very methodical and slow, and there was what, 3 years between each movie, the original trilogy,
original and the prequels, which. I mean, it all built up hype, regardless of how people feel about the prequels. It was always, well, now it's three more years and counting till the next one.
Yeah. And so you had that time. And now sequels, There was a year between Endgame and Infinity War. I mean, one year between the two, and that had to happen because it pretty much was a to be continued. You can't let people leave them hanging for 3 years after Infinity War. You just can't do that. People were mad enough to be left hanging for a year, but in the Star Wars thing, and George Lucas, I think it was an interview he did with, of all people, James Cameron, for a series James Cameron was doing where he interviews different filmmakers. And the excerpts of that was not used in the final cut, James Cameron put together and put it in, I think, a book or a magazine article. I can't remember what it was. But there was some extra stuff in there about George Lucas. And one of the things George Lucas talked about was what he would have done, the direction he would have gone had he done the new series, mm-hmm. the new trilogy. And his ideas were going to be more geared towards, he had an idea where he wanted to show that the Force and everything that had been going on in the first two trilogies was being controlled by another, by other people, by another higher force. Hmm. And he called them the Wills. And the Wills.
Oh, yeah, the journey of, or Journal of the Wills.
The Journal of the Wills. And they were like, it's almost like everything was sort of a game, like a little board game. And all these people, like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and Han Solo, was just sort of higher beings. Game that they were playing with, and they were controlling all of that stuff. And so I've seen some theories where some people say, well, maybe that's still the case, maybe that's still canon, but maybe it's just not being emphasized as much as George would have made it. Like it maybe it's sort of just, it'll be alluded to in the final movie. I don't know. That's just one theory that I've seen of someone that has talked about that. But anyway, getting back to it, one of the things George Lucas said was, you know, I really never got to finish the story. Never forget to finish telling the story. And I know some people are like, well, George, you had 40 years. you had time to do this. And you didn't get it done. I mean, it took him long enough to get the prequels made, to get those out.
Well, his whole thing with the prequels was he said he always wanted to do it, but that the technology wasn't there.
Yeah.
Which is a very Cameron thing to say, because James Cameron's he's always said, like, I've had this idea, but I'm not going to make it until the technology can handle what's in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something they both are sort of like that. And that is, maybe that's becoming kind of becoming an OCD as a filmmaker?
I mean, maybe, but I always feel like, you know, guys that are that creative, I feel like you find a way.
Yeah.
You know, like the way you make Yoda work, because you think about it, Yoda doesn't work, that movie doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, if I were back in those days, I would have probably thought, man, you're going to make this main character a puppet. But the true creatives, they find a way.
Yeah, I was rewatching the documentary that came along with the Holy Trilogy box set. And, man, it was like a lot of good stuff in there. And, yeah, I was really amazed. To me, it's like, man, part of the magic of Star Wars is, man, like, you look like all the pieces have existed forever. But, like, why are people, like, still so passionate about Star Wars but not Flash Gordon or these other things? You know, but it was just, like, the perfect mix, you know. And, man, it's amazing to see, you know, grown-ass people hit middle-aged and kids, you know, like, still pumped, like, on the same property, you know.
Are we ever going to get a Flash Gordon reboot in the near time?
I mean, I would say, like, between that and Masters of the Universe, like, those two properties have bounced around in Hollywood from studio to studio, creator to creator for so long. And it's like, the stories are there. They just need somebody with the balls to do it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as soon as I saw, like, Thor Ragnarok, I was like, man, this is Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought of that, but that, man, that's dead fucking on.
If you're going to do Masters of the Universe in 2019, I think that's a good starting point, is to look at what they did with Ragnarok and say, hey, this could happen. We could make this work. And that's kind of been the thing about Masters of the Universe, because they did the 80s version with Dolph Lundgren from after the comic book or the animation version, which was a hit on television. They did the live action version, and it's kind of made fun of as being sort of this cheesy, sort of silly 80s movie. And so after that, it never really got another look at as far as trying to do it in live action. And I think a lot of people were trying to figure out, how can we make this work in 2019 and not make it feel too cheesy or campy, but still entertaining and fun. And I think after you see Ragnarok, I think, well, that's how you do it.
See, like Masters Universe, like Ragnarok, with like a little bit more homoeroticism.
Yeah.
No, I remember what was that movie? 300.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like I left that movie. I didn't know if I wanted to kill a dude or fuck a dude. That's not even my style, and I'm like, damn.
That's not. I can speak for Jazz. That's not his thing. So on Instagram, the interesting thing about their live that's different from the other live on the other platforms is they only run for so many minutes before it shuts off and ends.
Oh, yeah.
And so you restart. I've watched other people do lengthy live on Instagram, and they have to do it intermittently. Back. Yeah, they come back and say, okay, we're going to be gone in 14 seconds, and then we'll be back. And so we're back on. But we're now back to zero with our we had people on our thread talking and stuff like that. But now we're back to zero on that. And Kevin, my friend Kevin's been watching along with my brother Paul.
Kevin,
Paul on YouTube.
Paul,
give him a shout out, Kevin. If you're still there, Kevin is the drummer. Was the drummer for the Giesenslaws, which was a popular Austin country and western band for many years, and Sammy Allred was the lead, was one of the singers and founders of the group, who was also part of Sam and Bob, the morning show that was on for years in Austin radio. And Kevin told me a story one time how he almost was the drummer for George Strait. Now I'm trying to remember the whole story, but I think he auditioned, but he had a chance to audition and ended up passing on it because he was doing something else. But anyway, he was just like real close to being the George Strait drummer.
I pissed right next to George Strait one time.
Really?
Yeah, I was at a rest area in like Louisiana.
That's a country song, by the way.
I'm handling my business. I'm in the stall, not in the stall, but at the urinal. And I see this dude, cowboy hat, and I was like, yeah, that's a cowboy. And, man, I walk out, and, like, that dude I just saw, like, his face was, like, on the side of the bus.
was he in the whole get-up, the George Strait get-up?
I guess, like, casual George Strait, not, like, show George Strait.
Full show, I know George is a big DJ Mel.
DJ Mel.
What's up, Mel? Mel's a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. He's a huge star. Mel, if you have any Star Wars questions for us, we're doing Star Wars Day tomfoolery. So, or if you got anything Star Wars takes or anything you want to drop for us, love having you drop in for a little bit. So they're straight ahead, YouTube, Instagram, just to get everyone caught up. Maybe we'll Snapchat too before it's all said and done.
Oh snap.
Where do we pick up? So yeah, talking about Star Wars, the Rise of Skywalker. I know me and Jazz have Jazz has been here since the Rise of Skywalker and the Mandalorian new trailers had dropped, the teasers have dropped. Haven't had Johnny on since Rise of Skywalker has trailers dropped, if I'm not mistaken. I think we could fire it up and take a look at it.
Yeah.
And see where we're at in this. Oh, by the way, getting back to our talk about Flash Gordon and Master Universe, we're in a world now where we've had a Blade Runner sequel, which who would have ever thought that would have ever been a thing? And we have now Dune, which is a planned Dune trilogy, is in the works.
Oh, wow.
From the same director that directed Blade Runner 2049. So I think in a world like that, probably it could still happen that we get a Flash Gordon.
I mean, I don't see why not. It's got a huge following. Last year at Fantastic Fest, they had a big Flash Gordon thing because there's a documentary that came out that was brand new.
Yeah.
And it premiered there. And so they screened like a restored version of Flash Gordon and then the documentary. And there's still a huge following. There were people who bought badges to the fest just to go to the Flash Gordon stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, it's the coolest name ever in sci-fi, Flash Gordon. I mean, it's that you had that there, and the same thing. I think you borrow actually from Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy, to be more specific, on where you start to make a really good Flash Gordon in 2020 or 2019. Mm-hmm. That I think kind of could play off of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even the comedy aspects of it. You know, one of the things too is I think that works with Guardians so well and it was sort of a misfire. They didn't quite weren't able to quite do it as well in Captain Marvel. But with Guardians of the Galaxy, they blend the real world Earth, the pop culture of the real world Earth into the sci-fi world.
Yeah, which is crazy because nothing is on Earth except for the flashbacks to Quill as a kid.
Yeah.
So to kind of bring those Earth sensibilities into the film, and then, you know, he got the Zune, and then who knows where the Volume 3 is going to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've got to wait a couple years because he's working on the Suicide Squad.
No, what was it in The Force Awakens? I didn't know, like, space reggae exists. Like the Jabba Flow.
Can we get that album?
It's like the guy behind Hamilton is the guy who wrote that song.
No way.
And like Huttese or whatever.
I did not know that.
And then what, in Solo? Like they got trip hop in space.
I love it. Oh, speaking of clubs and music and Star Wars all combined together, I was talking about some things that are going on around the world, even on Star Wars Day, and we talked about some of the Austin stuff. But in Los Angeles, there's a bar where Kevin Smith does his podcast quite a bit.
Yeah, it's I watch his podcast from time to time.
I didn't know they did a video. Like, I listened to the audio.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. But I mean, the cantina he does it in, I mean, it looks like a Star Wars cantina.
Oh,
it's
damn!
It's unbelievable. Like giant, like 3 gallon jugs of like weird colored drinks and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it goes all out and all in. So they transform that sometimes to other things for other special releases and special events. One of the ones that they just did was they did a game for the new season of Game of Thrones. They transformed it into a Game of Thrones themed place for the premiere of the season, the new season. But with Star Wars Day just around, and it was a huge hit. Apparently they had people lined up like around the block to get into the Game of Thrones bar. But with the release, obviously with May 4th, they have to turn it back to the cantina. And Kevin Smith was like, this is such a big hit. Why don't you just go ahead and leave it this way through the rest of the Game of Thrones season? And he's like, well, you got to have it. The owner or the manager of the pub was on with him. And he said, well, you got to have a church on Christmas. So there goes your cantina. You got to have it. But
man, speaking of the cantina, man, I've just been kind of thinking about just moving to Galaxy's Edge. Just, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I heard like the people who work there, like, get to create backstories and they work in character.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I just may just give up on everything. Just become a Star Wars character. Just live in Galaxy's Edge.
Are they going to have Star Wars condos that you can live in?
I don't know. I know they're going to have their Star Wars resort, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you end up at the wrong condo. You know, you probably look like you live in the underworld.
Yeah. You get to at least have that experience and be very Mandalorian type.
At like 3 a.m, stormtroopers knocking on your door.
Hello?
Well, I was talking, man, I might go there just to go to the cantinas and like hang out.
Yeah.
Because I know there's no chance that I'm going to get to do any rides or anything. So just go hang out and look at the food and all that stuff.
When do you plan on making it out?
I want to try to go, like, maybe next spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my homegirl. It's like maybe 2020 sometime. I'm sure there has to be, like, a slow season. You know, I think I've heard before maybe it's, like, September.
Yeah.
After the summer's over, you know. But, yeah, just everything I've been hearing about it, man, just sounds amazing.
Right after school starts. Oh, we've got a shout out from my friend Patty on Facebook.
What's up, Patty?
And Patty and also Kevin Curry are in Denver, and they're saying, "What up from Denver?"
What up, Denver?
I was in Denver about several months ago for work, and my first time that I had ever been to Colorado, and man, I got some elevation sickness, and I got food poisoning. So it was a crossover on the first day I was there. Not too pleasant.
Oh, man. I was on tour up there.
Yeah.
A few years ago. Galaxy Cafe, which is like a music venue and restaurant. And then I played Boulder. And, man, I remember I was, I guess, they call their version of the drag, what we have in Austin, the hill, right?
Yeah, the hill.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a hill. And no, the hotel I stayed at was about two blocks away. So I walk down to the venue. I perform, sell some books. Mm-hmm. Everything's good. And I go to walk back, you know, to the hotel. And I'm, man, I'm just like getting winded. Like, man, at the time I was walking about 3 miles a day, 5 days a week. Man, I'm a big dude, but I've got, you know, I go. And I get to the hotel and I'm just sitting in the lobby, just sucking air, like trying to get some air, right? And, the guy behind the counter, I was like, man, I don't get this. Why am I out of air? I just thought people was like that thin oxygen. I just thought people were soft, right?
Yeah.
And, he was like, man, I'm a regular sized dude. And I pedaled up that hill and I was like sucking air. I'm like, man, that stuff is real.
It's a real thing. They have a lot of oxygen bars in Colorado. It seemed like that would be a thing for tourists, out of towners. I don't know. I know they have a lot of medicinal dispensaries in Colorado.
Man, one of my hosts hooked me up with some stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And some flour, but also this THC spray.
Yeah.
Like, basically, it was like, imagine like chloroceptic if it would get you high, right?
Yeah.
So, man, I flew up there. I was on trains, you know, just a variety of different things, right? Mm-hmm. And, man, headphones, you know, a little THC, and I'm good getting between shows. And I, man, you know, like when you get to the bottom of a, like, say, a chloroseptic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start getting these little half squirts. So, man, the whole tour, I've just been using that little spray under the tongue twice, you're good. And, man, that last show of the tour, man, I hit like two sprays and I was getting like half sprays, right? So I sprayed like eight times. So I go down to the venue to go perform, and man, I was doing a feature at the Denver Poetry Slam. You know, I do a lot of different stuff. Spoken words, like one of the things I do. And man, I was invited to play perform with this jazz band, and then the Poetry Slam, the feature, and then I get back to the hotel, and. Then I realized I'd just been staring at the wall for like 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, to me, there's two different types of high. There's that high where movies are better, food's better, you know. Movies, music, whatever's better. Then there's just that not polite in public high. Ooh. And I'm like, and I was like shooting it like a tour documentary, too.
Yeah.
Oh. And I, you know, checked my camera, and I, man, my heart had sunk. Like, I realized after staring at the wall for 15 minutes after performing, like, I'm not polite in public, you know. So I cue up the footage, and it was good, you know. I was, like, kind of thankful for that, but, man, just for that brief moment where my heart sunk.
Ooh, yeah, those are some scary moments for sure. Intense.
Hey, you want to get high, man? That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
Exactly.
Intense. Another thing that's intense is the Rise of Skywalker teaser trailer. I would say. Dun, dun, dun. I think let's take a look at this. There's that breathing. Yep. Yeah. We'll do the sound for you for the trailer since the audience can't see it. I have to look up sometimes because Facebook is like way up there. Facebook is like in the ceiling, basically. I'm like, hey. We have this kind of crazy rigged up simulcast studio set up right now, and I have on a tripod stand an iPod. That's up high, and this is the first time we've ever done this, so it's going to get better as we do. We will do simulcasts in the future, more of them, and I hope. And so right now, I've got Facebook on an iPad set up high, so you're like having to look up like to the ceiling to say hi to Facebook, and then straight ahead on a laptop, I've got YouTube, because that's the only way you can do YouTube live. They've changed it now to where you have to have a certain amount of subscribers to do mobile live.
Oh, wow.
Directly. Mm. Otherwise, you have to go. So that's why we're on laptop. And then mobile on a phone, being Instagram is only mobile mobile available on mobile. Funny thing is I've never been able to do Instagram on an iPad or you can view it, but you can't really do edits or changes to your profile. You have to do it on a mobile device, like all your interactions to be done on a mobile device. So we have some new people that have jumped in on Instagram. And I can't see you because you're kind of far. So Instagram is kind of far away. It's sort of like in that that first scenes of Last Jedi when Rey and Luke Skywalker are like how far away from they're like, right. And so it's like the lightsaber. I'm handing the lightsaber off, and they're like this awkward distance from each other, trying to say, "How does Luke?" It's like I can't get it from you. That's what that should have been the scene at the opening of Last Jedi. Instead of Luke just taking the throne, it's like you need to get your way down. Come over here. Why are you all the way over there trying to hand me something?
I'm 60-something. I can't even barely see you over there.
That should have been the scene. All right, let's take a look at J.J. Abrams, who created that the opening of that scene and then had Rian Johnson finish it for him. We're going to look at his probably the last turn as a director in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
Man, I notice there's no glasses in Star Wars.
No glasses?
Yeah, like nobody's wearing glasses. I don't know if they've got like the eye surgery stuff down.
I think they must have done something perfected, like they just shoot you with some lasers.
Except for the goggles on Chewie in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've never seen like glasses.
They do have the head wear, the headgear that Lobot wears in Empire Strikes Back, which is some sort of computer device. Has everybody explained what that was supposed to be?
No, I mean, no, he's just an android. He's like part human, part machine, follows Lando around.
Do you think it would ever be? I would love to see them figure out a way to bring Lobot back for the Rise of Skywalker.
Lobot reboot.
Exactly. Literal reboot. I mean, the connection to Lando. Would you think that would be possible, or is that going to be a reboot?
Just like show up and hand him his cape.
Yeah, that could be it. Just a little handoff of the cape.
And everybody
cape goes, jockey.
Oh, it's Lobot. Is Lando possibly still a high roller when we see him at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker?
I don't know. He's wearing that same outfit, so.
Yeah,
he's
still got the same look. Well, that outfit, the outfit he's talking about is the gold, kind of the gold, mustard gold color version of the Lando outfit that Donald Glover's wearing in Solo, mm-hmm. Star Wars Story. And that's the first time we see that on a cinema version of Star Wars. And so now we see it brought back. Instead of the more blue-colored uniform or costume he's wearing in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, maybe he's like Steve Jobs, just wearing the same thing so you don't have to like put thoughts into clothes.
You don't mess with them. I got too many other things to do than to worry about clothes.
Exactly.
Well, I thought maybe the outfit had still been on the Millennium Falcon all these years. And that he
I don't know. You think Solo would have hung on to all those capes?
I don't know. Maybe Solo had a Lando fetish and liked to try on his capes sometimes when nobody was around. He had cape envy. I don't know. But it was too embarrassed to admit it.
Yeah.
But in the Solo A Star Wars Story, we see a very different Millennium Falcon that we had never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
Before Solo got a hold of it and Chewbacca got a hold of it. And then eventually the Porgs got a hold of it. And did their damage to it as well. And I can't even begin to start to explain how much damage the Porgs actually do to the Millennium Falcon until you read the book Chewie and the Porgs and you see.
I didn't realize that was canon.
I say it's canon.
Well, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy did say all of the books are canon since Disney took over.
There you go. Wow. There you go. Yeah. It's a children's book that I read to my son, and it's Chewie and the Porgs, and I highly recommend it. It's super entertaining. It's on Amazon. I'm doing a plug for it. But it's a children's book, so it's kind of fun. But it does explain the relationship more between Chewie and the Porgs and how that evolved off with the stuff you don't see in the film. And so there's some pretty entertaining stuff.
I still want to eat a Porg.
You still want a pork?
Dude, like, man, you know, I was saying before the movie came out, man, like, usually the cuter the critter, the better the taste,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like, koalas, man, I'm sure they gotta be, like, delicious. Man, I saw a pork, and I'm like, man, I would give me a pork chop or, like, pulled pork tacos.
Pulled pork I'm with you on the pulled
pork gogi. Like, if you want some Korean pork.
I'm totally with you on the pulled pork taco.
Yeah, it's like, man, those things look delicious. Then I saw a Chewy, like, you know, get like...
rotisserie.
Yeah, get like...
He's going rotisserie.
Meat shamed, you know, because he wanted to eat that pork. Man, bro, he done killed a pork. He done cleaned a pork. He done cooked a pork. And now you're giving them pork, guys.
You know, in the book, they suggest, they don't directly, like, present it to you, but they allude to it, that that pork that he's cooking on the rotisserie was actually accidentally killed. It was like roadkill.
Yeah.
And then Chewbacca, so that gives, that sort of gives him an out as far as being just, you know, that he went out and hunted a pork.
Bro, Chewie's from Kashyyyk, not Arkansas.
Kashyyyk, that's...
Apologize to anybody from Arkansas, but fuck your race backs. Okay.
I really needed you earlier because I had someone ask me what planet Chewbacca was from, and I couldn't remember how to pronounce that.
Yeah, Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk, yeah. So I
well, a freak.
It's like Kashyyyk rhymes with a freak. All right, so here's the trailer. We'll take a look, and then we can talk about it. We're watching the Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Sounds like porn so far.
So far, it opens like porn. Some heavy breathing. Now, when I first watched this trailer, there was something about it that I thought looked different about Rey, aka Daisy Ridley, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Is she more tan? Is she leaner? And then I went back and watched some stuff from Last Jedi. She's definitely a lot leaner in this film than she was. If you look at the stuff from Last Jedi, she's leaned down on this film.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw Last Jedi, I was like, is she bulking up a little bit?
She's a little bulkier in that. In this one, she's leaned back down. Some people on YouTube had mentioned that her face looks like it was photoshopped on. Like, it didn't really even look like that the same face, like, looked different from the body. Which, I don't know if they would have done that for any reason, if they needed to reshoot and put her face on after the fact.
We've passed on all we know. 1,000 generations live in you now.
Now, Luke Skywalker's voiceover there, Mark Hamill doing Luke Skywalker's voiceover, is that new audio or is that something that was taken from one of the previous two films?
No, I think it's new.
Yeah.
It's definitely new because he's referring to the time they are now, and they've mm-hmm. already, they said during the panel during Celebration, this mm-hmm. does, there's a time jump between Last Jedi
yeah.
and Rise of Skywalker, so obviously... She has spent some time with Luke, and then mm-hmm. he does say, we've taught you all we know, so that led me to believe, you know, is Yoda coming in there,
yeah.
is Obi-Wan showing up, Anakin maybe?
Yeah, there's a possibility of all these, you know, we're talking about, like, comparing it to Endgame, Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought back all these people for Avengers Endgame that from the past films, Robert Redford from Winter Soldier, and you can go on and on down the list, Tony Stark's dad. They figured out a way to bring him back, and all these other people they bring back. I think Vision's the only one we didn't get
Well, we got Jarvis.
Yeah, that's true. So that's sort of the same in the same vein.
But this is your find.
Love that gunslinger shot.
Yes. Now they've used the every generation has a legend before. That was used in the prequels
mm-hmm.
for the trailers and the prequels. Didn't they ever teach her not to run with her lightsaber? open? Yeah. Now, it used to be a thing. Now, there's been some criticism on YouTube. Some people have criticized that her running with the lightsaber and saying that if you look at the older movies, they don't open the lightsaber until it was absolutely necessary. Is that wrong, or is there something to that?
I mean, I'm pretty sure in the prequels they do as well,
mm-hmm.
and in the Clone Wars they do it. In the Rebels, they do it.
They do run with the lightsaber. Yeah. I mean, it's cool as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It looks cool as hell to see her running with a lightsaber. Now, Jazz mentioned when he was here, last time he was here, white lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, that looked whiter. I mean, I've seen, like, daylight blue lightsabers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, that looked very white. And, like, the only time I've seen a white lightsaber before is Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And Rebels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she went gray.
Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of maybe, you know, my whole thing is thinking the Skywalker is going to be the next Jedi Order.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. I kind of come to that conclusion, like, within an hour. When I first saw the trailer, then I was kind of amazed to see how many people, like, online are coming with that same, you know, thought. But yeah, it's like I'm thinking, like, you know, was it Rey? She's not being Jedi nor Sith.
No, she's following the teachings of Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that was the thing. Even Luke was saying in Last Jedi was, you know, the Jedi were, you know, full of themselves. They were arrogant. Mm-hmm. And then he says that's why they failed. You know, they believed this, and that's why they, you know, that's why a Sith was able to get right under their nose, all of this stuff. So she's not learning necessarily the ways of the Jedi. She's learning the ways of Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And going back to, like, the, what do you call it, Skywalker being the new order name.
A new order name,
I mean, it's like, we call it, I mean, just kind of looking at examples we have on our planet. Man, it's like, Christians aren't called Jesusers. You know, it just, it seemed like maybe that's where they're, you know, I don't know, not taking inspiration from it, but just seeing parallels.
Yeah, and I don't even think they probably won't even be called Skywalkers. It's just they're following the way of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A new Skywalker order that sort of is a, you know. You know, it's funny, and not to get into religion, I definitely won't get too far into religion, but sometimes, you know, churches change their rules. Like, or they make some adjustments in there to update what they've believed or followed.
Well, it's like, to me, like, I don't see a problem discussing religion with Star Wars. It's a Masonic tale.
Yeah.
It's a Masonic samurai space western, right? Yeah. It's just, you know, Masonic, like The Matrix, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, it's another story of the one, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, it's like some of the parallels we have in religions. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like you kind of see the one, you know, in different religions.
Yeah. And different ways of that they choose to practice and worship. Well, one example is like in modern day in some churches, and I don't know if it's the Methodists or the Lutherans, but they've been having a big division in recent years because there's a faction of the church that wants to open the church up to and be transparent about allowing, you know, gay people.
Into the church.
And there's one half of the group that's very much in favor of it, says it's way past the time to do that and to be more inclusive and also have, you know, allowing them to be ministers and to be, you know, on the board and a part of the church. And there's the older section of the church which is against it, and so there's been talk of, like, I don't know if it's Methodist, maybe it's Methodist or it's the Lutherans, but there's talk of them splitting into two different churches now, and there being the one that's going to be that version that's going to allow and be open and transparent about allowing gay people in and making it more inclusive. And then the other one that's going to stick with kind of the old rules of where they were on that.
See, I don't think the Jedi even care.
No, I don't think they've ever had a pretty much, as long as your midichlorians are up to speed, you can get. Yeah.
They don't care who you fucking.
Oh. The throwdown. Is Chewie going to finally get his medal? Is that what that's alluding to?
Or, I mean, he inherits Han's? I don't know.
Yeah, it's one or the other, right?
Well, I thought it in canon, like he got his later, like on Kashyyyk or something.
Like later? They sort of didn't make it in the UPS, missed the shipment?
No, I think it's like Kashyyykian traditions and shit. But, man, it's like, since we lost Carrie, Man, it's like every time I see her on screen, like right feels, right?
It's tough, yeah.
And now it's like last night I was rewatching Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And man, just now seeing, you know, like Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, you know, not to go too much back into Mayhew, but man, you know, if you think just on an acting level, mm-hmm. like this guy was in, you know, a fursuit. And he conveyed, like, so much emotion. Like, you know what he was feeling. Like, what he was thinking. And, like, yeah, to me, it's just kind of amazing, you know, like, on that level.
We'll always be with you. No one's ever really gone.
So a couple of cherries on top at the end of that, on the top of the sundae, when you get a pretty, what to me was a one of the best, I think it was my favorite of the new trilogy, of the first out teaser trailers that we got for Force Awakens, and the first out teaser trailer that we received for The Last Jedi, and now this one, this has been my first out favorite teaser trailer, of, you know, number one teaser trailer so far in the new trilogy.
I would still have to go Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Just because and it's not even because of the quality of the trailer. Mm-hmm. It was just because of what it was, I guess.
Like, we thought we were done. Like, yeah. I remember, it Revenge of the Sith coming out? Like, I think we were all excited about the prequels, and then we saw them, then we digested them, like, and we were like, oh, these weren't as good as I thought. You know, going back, I kind of enjoy them on a different level. But, man, what do you guys think of, like, the blue logo for Rise of Skywalker? Like, I've seen, like, the Holy Trilogy, like, all has gold.
Gold.
You know? Then it's like the last two have been, like, red logos.
Yeah. It's different. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I dig it for it being different, but I think I still prefer the gold.
Yeah.
Just because that's what it's always been. But I understand you're trying to shift.
Yeah,
and do something different, but while trying to also be same. It's weird when you look at what Disney's doing and what they're having JJ do in response to everything with The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. Where there's so many things where it's like, okay, maybe we shouldn't have gone that direction, so we need to go more back to, you know, zero.
Yeah.
You know, because you had those fans after Force Awakens who were like, you know, it's a rehash, it's a ripoff, it's all that. And so in order to please them, they're like, okay, well, let's just go 180, you know, with the whole, this isn't your dad's Star Wars sort of thing. And then you piss off the other half of the fans, mm-hmm. who are like, it's not enough like Star Wars. So
see, my thing is like, I had the Holy Trilogy for a long time. And then I loaned it to some chick and never got it back. And I went years. Like, you know, the trilogy was in here, but not on disc, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about 3 or 4 months ago, like, I repurchased, you know, the Holy Trilogy, right? And, man, I think it's like the people who have a lot of beef with the sequel movies haven't watched. I mean, you know, you got the trilogy in your head, and you know, as adults we kind of see on a higher level, but like going back and like rewatching those movies, like I mentioned rewatching Empire last night,
mm-hmm.
if there was like Twitter and Facebook during the time of Empire,
oh, it would have been destroyed.
Yeah But you know, now it's one of like most people's favorite. I mean, it's darker in tone, it feels different from the other two of that trilogy.
And
it's like I know a lot of people complain about a sequel series. I've been into it, you know, 100%. I mean, I think time will treat The Last Jedi, you know, a little better.
100% agree. Mm-hmm. I've been on The Last Jedi train the whole time, and mm-hmm. I think what Rian Johnson did with that was opened up the galaxy, because mm-hmm. for so long, like, unless you know, I mean, growing up, I read all of the Del Rey books and the comics from Dark Horse and everything. Unless you went out of your way to seek out, you know, other avenues to get your Star Wars, it was just, this is your Star Wars. And that's all you have. Whereas Rian Johnson, basically, he still kept it here, but he opened it up to give the ability to move forward and find other avenues in the galaxy to explore within this universe that so many people love.
Yeah, I was like a super latecomer to the animation, you know. And I was like, oh, it's on Disney cartoons, and I kept putting it off. But like when I finally like sunk into Clone Wars, like some of the episodes were like very kiddish, but then I saw the Mortis arc, and that fucked my shit up. Like, yeah, I started like questioning like reality, you know, the world between worlds and stuff. And then going and seeing, it took me a while to give in and check out Rebels, and it was like seeing how seemed like Rebels had like more the tone of the movies, you know. But yeah, I'm really kind of pumped for that last season of Clone Wars now.
That's gonna be really exciting, a lot of fun too. Now, you'd mentioned how both of you were fully on board with Last Jedi, and you've been on board the whole time, all along.
Well, it's like, you know, I was already on board, and I remember when we saw, Mark Hamill was talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Man, just kind of hearing some of the stories, like, behind the scene, and, like, hearing Ryan just kind of talking about, like, why he did X and Y.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now, you know, it's like a lot of the things that people were complaining about, you know, it's just like, okay, if you see where the artist is coming from, you know, it kind of reframes everything.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things, too, is JJ as a creator is all about, you know, putting spectacle, making people happy, making an event. And he's always been really good at that. Rian Johnson is really the epitome of like an artist type filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he's always been that way, which is what surprised and excited me when Disney hired him. I was really surprised because he doesn't come off as that type of director who would attach himself to something as big as Star Wars. Because he's always done these really, you know, just kind of really introvert type pieces like Looper, where, you know, you're really dissecting things. And then he, you know, he took Star Wars and he did that, and he took I think this is the biggest thing, he took JJ's Mystery Box that so many people love, and I mean, I love it. Part of JJ's Mystery Box is what's in the box, and he took JJ's box and he emptied it, and that upset a lot of people.
Yeah. Did it upset JJ Abrams?
See, at the time when Ryan was writing it and filming it, it didn't. But now that he's the one directing 9, because you remember when Ryan was doing 8 and he was in the process of writing it while JJ was finishing 7, JJ thought he was done after 7.
Absolutely.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, he doesn't really care what Ryan does in 8 because he's got no stake in 9. Whereas now that he's...
It could have been another guy doing 9.
Yeah, it was originally Trevorrow. Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah. Who was let go.
Yeah.
By Kathleen Kennedy.
So now he comes back to it and he's like, well, wait, I designed Kylo's helmet. I really like Kylo's helmet. I liked Rey.
You like Kylo's helmet.
I like Kylo's
helmet. See, I don't like how Snoke helmet shamed, you know.
That I didn't like.
Like, to me, like, I'm sure, no, not just protection and not just kind of covering up, you know, identity, but I always would envision, like, a heads-up display, like, getting information.
Like a real purpose for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then also, whenever he didn't have the helmet on, did you really see the stormtroopers and the other officers scared of him like they were when he had it on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
It adds a presence, doesn't it?
Yeah, because all of his tantrums in The Force Awakens, like, literally every time he would turn around and he had that helmet on, you saw the stormtroopers, like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was, like, Mark Hamill was talking about in that panel, like, he had to be the whiny teenager in New Hope, right, to have an arc, you know? And it's like... I remember, I think I've even called Kylo Ren, like, Darth Tantrum. But, you know, it's like, I guess he had to start there to get where he's going.
And I love his arc. Because, I mean, it wasn't anything I thought was going to happen. You know, when we were all speculating Force Awakens, I thought he was just our next bad guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as, you know, some of it was cringy, I like the character's arc. You take, because he's actually changed. Like, Darth Vader, until the very end of Return of the Jedi, he's the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
The Emperor is the same guy throughout all of it.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing this character go from, like, this young guy who's, you know, always getting it his way, hates mom and dad, all of this stuff, and you're seeing him change and evolve, and then now we're seeing him rock bottom people in trailers. So
yeah, looking, you know, like a badass. So we had, remember you had said, you laid it all out, you were talking about this earlier, you laid it all out, you said that you'd always felt like the first film was the Han Solo, that was his story. Not full, it was a big part of that was his story. And the second one would be Luke Skywalker's. And then the intent was to always make the third one General Leia. Mm-hmm. And it was each of their send-offs. Now, though, with the passing of General Leia, and, well, with the passing of Carrie Fisher, possibly the passing of General Leia, too. We'll see when we finally get Episode 9. But with a limited amount of footage maybe that they had, they had access to footage, they've recycled that, and they figured out a way to give us General Leia in this film, but she's probably in it less than what they had originally intended?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think during Celebration, J.J. even said she's not in it the way that they originally mm-hmm. planned for it.
Yeah.
But that once they went back and looked over all of the footage they had shot of her,
yeah,
they started taking that and writing the character around that, and he didn't realize just how much stuff they had with Carrie in
it. Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Until they went back and looked at it, and he was like, wow, I didn't realize we had this much stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, there's almost a story within that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then with that less amount of footage available, and that then knowing that they're not going to have her in the way they intended on doing it, does that make this last film more Ben Solo's film?
I mean, I think JJ even said initially that it was co-protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one was mm-hmm. good and one was not. So yeah. I think this is supposed to wrap up both Rey and Kylo.
Yeah.
Not to get too much into like movie business side of it. Man, we just saw Avengers have like a 1.2 billion opening weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Rise of Skywalker top that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because right now, I mean, Avengers in the last, definitely in the last, I'd say, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
have been they've surpassed Star Wars. Me as a Star Wars fan, I'll admit, in terms of the audience, there's probably just they're edging out Star Wars right now. Avengers.
The biggest market that is affecting that is actually China. Because of the growth of China's box office over the last several years
mm-hmm.
has been huge, but the majority of what they're seeing is not Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're not really into space.
They're not. It's one of the few places that does not have a big Star Wars following. And they've tried.
Endgame did over 300 million opening weekend just in China. And the next closest foreign market was the UK with just 50 million.
Yeah.
And The Last Jedi didn't do great in China, but that had less to do with them going to the movies as I guess the Chinese just weren't receptive.
Yeah, and that started as far back as with the release of New Hope back in the 70s because they didn't get the release of the first Star Wars films in China because mm-mm. of the government, the political climate. So those movies didn't get the build of the audience in the early years. So it was sort of like they were kind of late to the party. And once they got it, finally, they couldn't capture the same momentum.
Oh, yeah.
But with Avengers, they had Avengers from the very get-go and Marvel from the very get-go. Of course, there's no Avengers Day.
No.
And, you know, the thing is, and you can't take away from what they've done with Marvel and the remarkable job they did of world building and creating that series. But, I mean, I think California now has made it an official holiday. Star Wars Day is one of the states that made it a state holiday.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that, just someone started a bad pun May the 4th.
Yeah.
And now it's a damn near holiday to, like, you know, Star Wars people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing. I don't know if it's just being in the bubble of Austin, but man, everywhere I've been today, even not nerdery spots, mm-hmm. just CVS, just random places, seeing like so many people like rocking Star Wars shirts. Yeah. You know, it's just amazing to see how many people it connects with. You know, like, you know, we may be a little bit more obsessed than general populace, but mm-hmm. it's just amazing to see how many people like this touch, this connects with.
I got one more thing. If they still have them, they haven't run out because it was while supplies last. Today, the Blue Bakery over by the Arboretum here in our town of Austin, Texas, was doing Star Wars cookies all day. And they're really pretty, like, well-decorated Star Wars cookies. And they're going until they're selling them until until supplies last. So just if you are want to get some Star Wars treats for the day's over, there's an opportunity there for that. And among other things that are going on. Oh, tomorrow, the Peach Tortilla in Austin, Texas, is doing their Star Wars themed milkshakes, which are they're gonna do a Princess Leia and I think a Darth Vader themed milkshake, and so it's got the decorative character inside the milkshake in some form, edible form, and then the shake is decorated in the colors and theme that they think fits those characters the most.
Of course, they missed the chance to do a blue milkshake.
Yeah, it's true. I know they got some really clever, that pub that we're talking about, what Kevin Smith does his podcast, mm-hmm. That's decorated like the Cantina in Los Angeles, I know has some pretty clever drink tie-ins to the movie that they do on Star Wars Day. So they're also going to have a thing there at that pub where you can go and you can send them your picture, and they will put it into a Boba Fett superimposed and make you a t-shirt.
Oh, stop.
Now, if you don't want a Boba Fett themed, you as Boba Fett themed t-shirt, you can send them a different picture that's Star Wars themed, and they can make that as a t-shirt, and then you could pick it. They have a actual computer there in the pub that prints the shirt up there on the spot, on demand. Was it like you said, we're living in the...
we live in the future, bro.
Yeah, we live in the future. So... Yeah, so that the question would be is, can this film, even with the China thing in consideration, does that make it impossible for this to beat?
Oh, no, definitely not impossible. The thing with Star Wars is it goes where the domestic box office goes. Mm-hmm. That's why Force Awakens still has the domestic record right now for you know, box office, because it almost hit $1 billion just here in the States. So that's what it needs to have is a lot of views and repeat views here in the States, really, for the most part, if it's going to get above Endgame. Because Endgame right now is sitting at like 70% foreign, which is crazy, because usually it's closer to 50-50 in most films.
Which a Star Wars audience are a repeat viewer. They will go see it. I mean, your hardcore fan is going to go see it at least two times. In the theater.
Yeah. And I mean, The Last Jedi, I think a lot of people that maybe would have normally seen multiples didn't. I mean, I saw it like four times.
I think I was in that neighborhood.
Yeah. So some of you guys make up for the people that only go see it once by going to see it four times. And there's repeat appearance. The brilliant thing that Marvel did this year with the Avengers is they got the first weekend where they win that weekend easily. Then the anniversary of the release of the first Iron Man movie came, I think, 2 weeks later or a week later. And that was just this past week. So some people went back to see it to commemorate the anniversary of the release of the first Iron Man film.
Oh, damn.
And on that note, with Jazz One going,
oh, damn,
we are going to cut this stream into two episodes. This one ran really long. We were probably over 3 hours of streaming on Star Wars Day. So we're going to cut it into two episodes. This will continue. The rest of this will continue into episode 99. This will be the end of episode 98.
Don't make me say it again.
And Thunder Pop is a Hit the Bricks production.
Star Wars. 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 Star Wars.